Jaconda Bailey grew up in the privilege of a Nicaragua in which the wealthy were supported by a dictatorship, but in which many people felt its oppression. She became a poet, and at the age of 19, and in secrecy, a supporter of the Sandinistas, the guerrilla group that took their name from the 20th century Nicaraguan who fought the United States. Initially, her involvement was not something her parents or husband knew about. In time, Bailey would become a major spokeswoman for the Sandinistas, falling in love with both the movement and some of its most mythologized leaders, including Eduardo Contreras. It ended, though, in a bittersweet division from the leadership and the country. She lives in California today. Bailey, a prize-winning poet and novelist, was born in 1950. She's written a memoir called The Country Under My Skin, a memoir of love and war, and she joins us now. Jaconda, welcome.
Hi, Jackie.
This is an absolutely gripping account, and it kind of goes from one pinnacle of your life to another. But I think that we should set it up as you do. You weren't going to be a revolutionary when you grew up. You were an 18-year-old debutante at one of the best clubs in Managua. You didn't just have a silver spoon in your mouth. You kind of had the whole cutlery set. When you look back, how did that young woman eventually transform?
Well, I think it was a combination of living in a country where, you know, you would see the oppression every day. You couldn't look, you couldn't hide yourself from it. But I got a point where I felt that I had to do something about it, that it wasn't just a question of, you know, arguing at dinner, mm-hmm. that my generation was called upon to do something about it. And at the time, there was the Vietnam War, there was the Women's Liberation Movement. It was a time of great effervescence. It was a time when the young people felt very empowered.
What was the revolutionary rhetoric that was most compelling to you? One of the things that's interesting about this memoir is that you're constantly translating this revolution in your poetry. Now, why was that language compelling to you?
What called me to it was very idealistic. It was a very romantic notion. You felt you had joined this community of dreamers, like almost like an exotic enterprise. And so it was a feeling of elation that one felt of being in this kind of secret world where I would continue my life as a wife, as a mother, but, you know, I would have this other secret life, and I felt inside that I had left that world that made me feel very sick in a way because, the world where I lived pretended that the poverty and that the oppression did not exist.
Parts of this book read as if you were Mata Hari. In other words, you weren't only writing. You did ferry leaders and you did ferry weapons. You were in this armed revolutionary elite, and a number of these men became your lovers, including its legendary commander. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he was a very intelligent man, and he had really the idea of how we had to change the strategy of the struggle, and that was key to the fact that the Sandinistas were able to rise the population against Somoza. So he was a man of many contradictions too, you know, because the other part was that you were trying to be a revolutionary, but in your personal relationships, you still had and carried many of the traditional schemes of the past. So when he was killed, and later on, I, who had been in love with him, found out that he had had almost like a woman in every port. And so it was, you know, it was all these contradictions.
As a leader of the movement, as someone who chronicled it, even then you were writing slogans and you were acting in a sort of spokeswoman's capacity, and eventually you traveled with one of the leaders. You met a lot of the foreign supporters of the revolution. You met Fidel Castro. Some of these men treated you rather as if, the word bimbo comes to mind. Some of them seemed to just look at you like a conquest.
No, you see, the thing is that I was a young woman in the midst of all these, in these dealings with men, I got to have quite an important degree of responsibility and was sent to talk to these kind of people often. And sometimes I would find that my being a woman would kind of intervene in the picture, and that I would be talking very seriously about these political matters, and all of a sudden this man would come back at me and start treating me like a sexual object, you know, like I was just a pretty Nicaraguan Sandinista. But I think that's what we women face very often. I mean, I think we have become more powerful sexual objects, but there is still this split between the healthy sexuality and intellect. And so you, as a woman, are always carrying this aura of sexuality. One is always carrying this aura of sexuality, and we are in a way punished by this and treated not in a respectful way very often.
But of course, Chikonda, there were benefits to this too. It did get you through the door at times, and it took you places that you might not otherwise have gone. As you look back to what happened to the revolution in Managua, I'd like to take you to 1979. You had been living in Costa Rica. You had not been able to get back inside Managua for years. Suddenly, the Somoza dictatorship crumbles, and you're allowed to come back. Tell us about that day.
Well, it was a fantastic day. You know, it was I arrived in Managua in a plane with a lot of newspapers that we had printed in Costa Rica, because we had the installations of La Prensa newspaper had been bombed by Somoza. And then, you know, the whole imagine is like seeing your dreams come true. How many people have that, to know that we had been able to oust this tyrant that had been ruling the country for, you know, in a dynasty for 45 years. It was a sense of incredible satisfaction mixed in with this incredible sadness, too, for all the people who had not been able to see it.
We should say, in the interest of full disclosure, that eventually you married an American journalist, and today you live in the United States. Did you ever think that you would wind up looking at your country through the prism of a country that had once been antagonistic to Nicaragua?
No, I never thought that. You know, I had decided that I was a better writer than a politician already in 1986. And I was already writing full-time, and I had left my political duties, so to speak. But, you know, when I fell in love with an American and I decided to come and live here after the electoral defeat in 1990, I thought, well, the United States is not only the country that attacked Nicaragua, it's also the country of Mark Twain, of William Faulkner, of Sylvia Plath, Toni Morrison. This country has many things that I would like, you know, that I wanted to learn about. I wanted to learn why this country has such a horrible foreign policy, why this stupidity in dealing with Latin America. I wanted to understand, because the United States is a presence that we have to reckon with in Latin America. And I wanted to get to know this country better.
Chikonda Belli, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jackie.
Chikonda Belli is the author of The Country Under My Skin, a memoir of love and war.